This is Radio Spectives. Surf the new wave of talk radio. Radio Spectives is powered by iBiz Radio, a TMA e-marketing company.
This is Radio Spectives. I'm Dan Culhane, and this afternoon I'm happy to be with our special guest, Dave Horsager of Horsager Leadership. Dave's a business strategist and certified speaking professional. Means you're card-carrying, right?
Yeah.
He's the author of The Trust Edge, in which he writes about the importance of trust in both personal and professional success, and he shares the secrets of using trust to impact the bottom line. So, of course, our topic today will be The Trust Edge. Welcome to the program, Dave.
Thanks so much.
Now, that seems to me to be almost a no-brainer, doesn't it? But you'd be surprised, I imagine.
The problem is, of course, that people think trust is a soft skill. They think it's just, oh, they want to – salespeople want to learn the newest closing technique, or they want to learn something about some little leadership tip, when really the fundamental bottom line key to any personal, relational, or business success even is trust, and it's tied to everything. It's tied to – you know, how much credit a bank will give you. It's tied to how long you're going to be married. It's tied to a lot of things.
Now, that's different from someone having the the cliched smarmy sales guy kind of, hey, how you doing there kind of a thing.
It's the opposite. I mean, that's the problem. Well, to go back to the sales analogy, of course, people want to – if they want to learn the newest closing technique, my point is, if you learn to build trust, you won't need it. If you don't learn to build trust, you won't even get in the door, and it won't matter. So trust is a fundamental key. Of course, today in this climate, it's timely, but it's really been the fundamental key always, I think. And the problem with it is you can make a lot of money as a speaker if you talk on how to lose 50 pounds in a week or how to make $1 million in 2 months. But trust is tested. It's proven. It takes time. But it's the only way to fundamental lasting success and impact as a leader, salesperson, mom, doesn't matter.
And that does lead us to effective leadership in how trust does play an important role in that.
Sure.
You can't work with people under you, around you, over you.
Without trust, leaders lose teams. Without trust, salespeople lose sales. Without trust, organizations lose productivity, profitability. They lose retention of good people. They lose reputation. They lose loyalty. And, of course, the opposite. With trust, if you think of a business, people will pay more for the trusted brand. They'll come back. They'll tell others. Trust, it's not – my point is we all know intuitively trust is important. But people aren't willing to pay for an understanding of trust unless they see how it's tied to the bottom line. And so you and I can say, oh, yeah, of course trust is important in a relationship, in my friendships or in my business. But am I really going to do something about it? My point is it's tied directly to the bottom line. It is the fundamental foundation of any genuine success. And it's a competency that can be learned. And while that might seem even trite, it takes time. It is a change of a person to become trusted, but it's worth it, and it's teachable, and a business climate can become more trusted.
Now, in your line of work, how do you get in the door? And you say it's a tough sell because you're not selling someone to get rich quick. You're not selling someone how to lose weight. You're selling this thing that, trust is important. And like you say, yeah, we know that.
Right.
So how do you get them to
– Well, people have started to really understand, and it is fascinating. It has become a hot topic. Speakers bureaus around the country are calling me, asking me for this specific topic, which, of course, I did all my graduate research on and have been just fascinated by for years. But I say that in one breath. I think people that have me in understand the bottom line impact of trust, want it, and today's day and age with AIG tanking and Lehman Brothers and all the other things that have happened, there's all kinds of trust issues, from food poisoning coming from China to, kids, are they safe at school, to all these business issues. So it has become a hot topic. The thing I think is the audience at first might wonder, well, can I learn a new tip or a new this? And they go away with lots of tips.
Oh, I see.
But I think trust is the most important. And thankfully, in this business climate we're in, people are starting to see that. And so it has become a hot topic in spite of the get rich quick people.
Mm-hmm. You talk about managers needing to be trusted by their employees and employees needing to go out and be trusted by their clients. Now, it's also important for an employer to trust his employees as well.
Of course. And, you know, extending trust is important, but frankly, the bulk of what I talk about is how to be trusted. That's the pillars we might talk about in a moment. That's what we're, you know, that's the foundation of what I talk about. I don't talk so much about someone, how someone else, how much trust we should extend to someone else. Mm-hmm. Of course, a manager that doesn't extend trust, that micromanages, they lose a lot of productivity because they've squelched motivation. They do too much themselves because they don't delegate. There's problems, and even in the book, there's one chapter on extending trust. How do we do that? But you know, and I know, extending trust has to be done wisely. I mean, I don't trust that boy with my daughter for good reason. I don't trust, you know, that business little quick get-rich-quick scheme for good reason. We shouldn't trust everything, and that's certainly not my point, that everyone – I've been ripped off, and so have you, I'm sure. So we don't – I don't, you know, perfectly trust that political ad's going to be correct for good reason. I don't trust the flight's going to make it on time for good reason. But there are things we can trust, and the point is we don't have control over everybody else. But we can become trusted when we do some things that make us that way. And when we do that, we become more successful. We don't control everybody else, but we can become certainly more fruitful, more impactful, and more better leaders, leaders that are followed, salespeople that are bought from, you know, customer service reps that give the service that bring people back.
You're listening to Radio Spectives. Our guest is Dave Horsager of Horsager Leadership. He's the author of The Trust Edge. And you talked a few moments ago about those eight pillars to building the trust edge. Give us an overview of what those are.
Well, very quickly, they are consistency. Mm-hmm. Of course, consistency is that it's done the same every time. If we, you know, brilliance is kind of interesting. It's only trusted if it's done over and over. It's why we trust McDonald's. We don't even like McDonald's, but we trust them because they give us the same burger in Tokyo as they gave us in Cleveland, the same exact burger. How do they do it? They are so consistent in every way. And so we trust people that are consistent, not sporadic, not erratic. I say, you know, people don't trust the unpredictable. Even if once they're amazing, they have to be it consistently or they don't make the team. They don't become trusted. People don't like surprises except for on birthdays, right? So that's consistency. Second one is clarity. People trust the clear and they mistrust or they distrust the ambiguous or the vague. People want to know clear expectations. They want to have people are led by a clear vision. The old ancient proverb says, without vision, people perish. And it's the same with companies and families. And we have to have a clear, be clear in our vision, clear in our communication.
Now, you had an example of McDonald's in that first point. Now, do you have an example of some, maybe a business that didn't have the clarity and it hurt them?
Well, I look at more of the ones that do have clarity. But if you want to take a simple analogy, you think of the guy that has all these different things for sale. Here, buy any of them. Buy any of them. Look at them all. And people walk in, they go, and they're overwhelmed, and they walk out. But, you just have three different things, specific things? That's the one for me, and I'll take it. So, you know, sometimes people go for so much. You know, Warren Buffett has this clear mission statement that he's about. This is how I do it. I don't get emotionally involved. This is how Berkshire Hathaway is going to grow, and I'm going to be the. You know, he was, you know, last year richest man alive, and it's because partly because he had a clear way of doing things, and many many examples.
But, how about number three?
Okay, number three, compassion. It's that we believe people that think beyond themselves. We believe in people that think beyond. This is why mom is most trusted, because in most cases, moms sacrifice. Moms will do anything for their kids, and so we trust them. And yet we wonder a little bit about that mortgage broker. Is he really thinking beyond himself, or that car salesman, or that lawyer, or whoever? Are they really thinking beyond themselves? But those that show compassion, those companies that show compassion beyond themselves, those people, those leaders that think beyond themselves, that show compassion, you know, it's kind of crazy. People think, oh, this is kind of soft. Oh, I don't know. Don't underestimate the power of really caring. When people feel cared about, when they feel appreciated, when they feel, you know, there's a study, the top five reasons people leave an organization. Pay was fifth. Everybody in the exit interview process, the interviewers thought, well, it's going to be first. It was last, ahead of it being appreciated, being respected, being listened to, being cared about. And people don't get sometimes these fundamental bottom line issues that don't appear that way at first. We got to have a caring climate. Number three. Number four is character. Now, at first glance, people say with trust, they think, well, that's the same as integrity, right? Well, that's the whole thing. And I think character is foundational, but it's not the only thing. That's why, you know, character is doing what you say you'll do, being congruent. There's two sides of it, I think, moral character and integrity. Of course, Hitler had great integrity in that he was the same, congruent in words, deeds, and actions, but he didn't have great character maybe. So we want to put those together and have great character and congruency in living that out. But it's not the only thing. For instance, the next one would be competency. Competency is the ability to do what I'm trusted to do. So for instance, I might trust Connie, who's sitting here at our time together, and I might trust her with my kids because she has such great character. I trust her to take care of them, but I won't trust her to give me brain surgery because she's not competent in that. And so we also have to keep competent. We have to keep learning. We have to be humble and open and being on the cutting edge in our industry, and that's, you know, that's competency. Next one is commitment. Being committed, you know, this is an interesting phenomenon in our culture, especially. One of the most discongruent places of this is probably sports. You know, fans will bleed the color. And yet the actual players that make up the actual team that's cheered for have low commitment to no commitment. What Brett Favre, you know, man, he was there. He was at Green Bay. He was the thing. He was loved and adored. And all of a sudden he says – in a statement, he says, well, it's just business, no commitment, and his trust tanked. Now, there are some that still bleed it, and I think irrationally so, but basically, if we show commitment, people in our business culture today think, some of the big businesses think, well, why don't you still, you know, like working for these big companies? And there's an interesting change that's happened. Used to be people trusted big companies like GM, Chrysler, because of stability and security. Mm-hmm. Now it's the opposite. People don't trust them at all because they see them as not committed. You know, people wonder why the Gen Yers, you know, are so uncommitted. But they've seen that their parents got laid off by them, and they weren't that big company wasn't committed to them. Sure. And so, anyway, there's a lot more to say about commitment, I'm sure. So, competency, commitment, clarity, connection is another one. Connection is the ability to connect and collaborate with others. And the whole idea is those that we get to know, those that we become friends with, mm-hmm. we trust. If we can connect on a different level, you know, if we just start talking and say, oh, you grew up on a farm? So did I. Oh, you agree with this? Oh, we have a similar background here? Oh, you like to fly fish like I do? Oh, you like to ride horse like I do? All of a sudden we connect in a way and we start to trust each other because we kind of have a similar frame of mind. And so the ability to connect with other people, of course, builds trust. And one of the best ways to do that, frankly, is by asking questions and listening. And a lot of people aren't real good at that.
Oh, no. The listening part's the hard part. Exactly.
Very. It's work, and it's work for me to do that too. Final one of the eight, I think I hit all the others, is contribution. And that is just being a contributor. It's the idea that results speak. You know, we trust results. If someone actually gets it done, we'll trust them. Mm-hmm. And so I think trust is best in a climate, in a culture, in an organization when all eight of these are, you know, foundational. But you can see how some have more or less of different pieces. For instance, you'll see sometimes some sales guy that he just gets results, even though his character is horrible. Generally speaking, almost every time, as the research shows, that guy will fall though. So if you want lasting success, you really need all eight.
Now, it seems to me that if you changed a few key words in your book and in your eight pillars, that you could change this into be any relationship, marriage.
Anything. Oh, sure.
Every single Absolutely. One of these Absolutely. Relates to something in a marriage or a relationship with a partner.
Absolutely.
Every bit of it. That's amazing.
Friendship, marriage, salesmanship, even with your kids. You know, if you know, Lisa and I talk about, my wife's name is Lisa, and we talk about parenting our kids. And we talk about, oh, we want him to do this. We want him to be this kind of character. Oh, great. Now we have to do it. Because how are they going to do it except for to watch us, right?
Exactly. So basically you're just going back 30 years to Leave It to Beaver. And, I mean, when you think about all these things, it is what you envision that you had in a simpler time. And there was more trust, less people trying to put something over on you. Mm-hmm. And you get so jaded because you don't have a lot of these things in any relationship, whether it's a salesperson trying to sell you something or someone in your family.
And this isn't to say – when I named mortgage brokers, lawyers, and others, it's not to say they aren't. We all know a trusted lawyer, a trusted salesperson, and I know them. Now, in the Gallup research and another study, I'm just showing you those three happen to come out low of all the people in categories trusted. Mm-hmm. But of course, you become a trusted salesperson, and we've seen them. They become more successful financially and in a lot of other ways. And I tie success to a lot of other things beyond financial. But it does tie back, so companies can say, okay, we don't just want to, you know, have your success idea, Dave, of you know, a balanced life and impacting others and giving and but we just tie it to financial. Fine, tie it just to financial, and you'll see that even if you do these just for that selfish goal, you'll be more fruitful.
Sadly, we're already out of time. We could do this again and fill another couple of these podcasts. It'd be a very easy thing to do. The book is called The Trust Edge. We're talking to Dave Horsager of Horsager Leadership. And if you'd like more information, which I can't see how you wouldn't, horsagerleadership.com is easy to remember. And dave@davehorsager.com is the email address.
TheTrustEdge.com is another one. Go straight for the book, The Trust Edge.
TheTrustEdge.com. Or call toll-free 1-800-608-8909. So all that information, TheTrustEdge.com. Remember that, and you'll find them. And Dave, this has been very, very interesting. I've appreciated this and enjoyed it.
Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Spectives. If you'd like to download this program or subscribe to the podcast series, go to radiospectives.com. Radio Spectives is powered by iBiz Radio, a TMAE marketing company. And Dave, we'd love to have you back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Radio Spectives, the new wave of talk radio. To download this program or subscribe to the podcast series, simply go to www.radiospectives.com.